would sound from your first impressions after looking at Anthony Peluso for a day of practice?
Sniper? Shootout sniper? He was pretty good. I think he was really nervous, you know. I think he was really nervous. You could tell that he's, you know, he didn't really know many players on the on our team, and you know, got in late and probably didn't sleep, and you know, I think he was excited, but you know, deer in the headlights. So we tried to make it just simple. And he scored a nice goal on the 1-3-on-3 down low. There, it was good. And I liked him. I thought he was okay. You know, for a first day and trying to get comfortable, I thought he was okay. I mean, skates pretty good, big guy. That won't be determined today, you know, maybe by tomorrow's practice we'll have a little bit of an idea of what we're going to do here, who we're going to put in exactly where and stuff like that.
How close are you to
that? Yeah, just looking at a little bit, you know, just you got to always check the injuries and where we're at there and make sure that everything's okay there, and you know, and then there's just little tweaks. You're always looking at how guys are and stuff like that. So that's just a fatigue factor and all those things that we want to be on top of things before you start putting people in position.
Do you expect the same group that was practice today to be in practice tomorrow?
Yes.
Meaning you'll probably make your decisions right up to the deadline, or hold off on making them right up to the deadline, whatever that deadline is.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I don't get into deadlines. I mean, I'll have ready for tomorrow's practice and ready to go, and hopefully, you know, that'll be, you know, what we're going with on Saturday. But I mean, you know, I don't even know when the deadline is or when, you know, the waivers are all over and all that stuff. So I think you just have to, as I said, the first day you just got to be flexible and you just got to be ready to respond to anything. We're going to try to put the lineup in Saturday's game that's going to enable us to win. It's just that simple, whoever that'll be.
In a perfect world, would Bufflin and Enstrom see a minute 15, minute 20 of a power play?
No. Do you want to know why? Mm-hmm. It's too long. You know, give us your 50 seconds and get off, get somebody else out there. I don't think this is a time to start stretching minutes. In any situation, you know, I think the thing you're going to have to be aware of is, I think you're going to have to be aware of the amount of penalties that are getting called, and I think you're going to have to watch there, because I'm not sure what we're going to get there. You know, like you know, you got to remember, the referees, they're rusty too. You know, so you can't be going too bonkers there. They're going to get some calls, and where's the standard going to be? They've been sitting here for 8 months or whatever, 6 months. You know, and they're chomping at the bit too. So you know, they go through their routine of training camp, and we want to pay more attention to this. And usually, what happens is, you start off and you can't touch anybody, and it's like, so you got to be aware of some things here. We went over some rule things with the league yesterday a little bit by conference call, so you know, right away it makes you just aware of some things. Of the changes? Not really, just some little changes with the face-offs and the hand rule, you know, stuff like that. Can't put your hand completely over the, you know, but for me, I think you got to be aware of leading with your stick in a lot of areas and around the hands. And if you're, you know, if it's coming late in the game and you're having these 1 minute and 15 second power play shifts and you're starting to get tired now, that's exactly what you're going to lead yourself up to, is just leading with the stick and tugging on people, and away you go. You know, so we talked about it a bit today, and we'll deal with it a bit tomorrow as far as just a little bit of video on it. Not going to be too crazy on it.
You said the other day about goaltending being one of the two biggest keys. How much better does Pavlik have to be this year if you're going to make the playoffs?
Does that mean you were not happy with him last year?
I'm just, he was on a team that didn't make the playoffs. How?
Sure. Well, you know, he's matured. You know, he's probably going to want to prove some things, you know, in a lot of different ways. That's just a competitive thing, you know, that guys... And he'll want to have a better year. He'll want to continue to grow. So, you know, he was a good player for us last year. I'd like him to improve a little bit on the road along with our team. And if those numbers can improve a bit, great. You know, I don't expect him to carry the team on his shoulders. We'd like him to play the majority of games. Let's see where that goes. I'm not expecting him to carry anything. We need to help each other out, and we need to help him out as well. You know, like when you look at goals against, people are going to sit there and say, well, goaltending or whatever, but it's not only the goaltending, you know. We don't have Bogosian, you know, our D's, you know, are they vulnerable? I don't believe so, but we're going to have to help them, you know, if we want to help in our D's own car, in goals against. It is. It's difficult in a lot of ways. It's difficult for the players. You know, this is why some teams that are their location-wise is close to their farm team, they bring in their farm team and they have a scrimmage, you know. But when if I'm watching on TV, if the scrimmages that I've seen, I don't see a lot of body contact or a whole slew of intensity there either. But so that's just normal. But it is difficult without exhibition games on not only on assessing players, but on getting your timing down. Like when I speak to players after practice, you know, today, yesterday, you know, they're, you know, how can I help them get themselves more ready for Saturday's game? Well, they want more, a little bit more battle. They want to get more up to pace of the game. So the drills that you do tomorrow, you know, without fatiguing them, are going to be important for them. So there's a lot of things that you're trying to cover, and you're covering all this stuff, and you're doing power play work today, and you know, so it's just a condensed. You know, and like the problem too is when you got exhibition games, you can not only can make assessments on people, you can try different things with different people, and the end result of your assessment isn't necessarily winning and losing in exhibition games. It's more the evaluation. So it's a huge difference. If you had one, it probably would help. But you know, we can't do with our farm situation. So our farm team situation. So. We make do with what we had. I thought we had a really good practice yesterday. I thought we practiced well today. A little split up. We went a little longer than I would have liked. I would like to cut it down a little bit than that, but we just wanted to get some stuff covered where they feel comfortable. Tomorrow I'll be very aware of time for me.
Would all those things you said then make it difficult to assess Mark Scheifele without seeing him?
Well, it does. It doesn't lend anything to him. You know, he's on a situation where he's, you know, on that top line with Slater. You know, and, you know, so he's, but I like him. You know, does some good things. I mean, I look him on the power play. He's doing some good things. So he's, I think he's being patient. He recognizes what's happening, you know, and these things have a way of working themselves out. We always want to fit things in at the first game. Before you know it, you're in game three and these things are working themselves out, and you just got to be patient there. He's done what's required. He's enthusiastic. He's a skilled guy. You watch him do some things. He's good. So, you know. So, but he would be a guy that would be a little tougher for him because, you know, the role that he's in with his line is a little bit different than what he's accustomed to. But that's okay.
How many defensemen do you want to start the year with? Not obviously dress, but just on the roster here.
Well, it'll be 7 or 8. That's for sure. You know, I'm not sure exactly. I'd have to talk to Kevin there a little bit about how we're gonna, you know, what we're going to do with our numbers and stuff like that. Are we going with, you know, how many forwards? And that'll be determined probably the last minute depending on different things, you know. So I would think 7 or 8.
Why, and everybody's talking about it, but why are they the hot commodity right now? I know it's 48 games. I know it's a game every 2 days. But why are these veteran depth defensemen so important in the 48 games?
I think that if you look back, you know, for me, the answer to that question, that you're talking short-term, but long-term. D's are always at a premium, and as Zinger always says, you can never have enough defensemen, and it's the truth. You can't have enough defensemen depth-wise, whether they're here or whether they're in your farm team. You can't get enough of them. So in a situation where injuries are probably more prevalent than other seasons, other years, then I think the impact is going to be not only on the defense but forwards, but it's going to have an impact on defense. And, you know, I think it's a major position, and you want to make sure that you cover yourself because nobody wants to hit that big bump in the road, and that what could certainly do it for you. So hang on to the defenseman if you can.
A couple more guys. What's Zach Redmond doing now?
I think he looks fine, you know. I think that he's just trying to get comfortable going from the pace to the American League to this league, you know, and then and as guys are starting to feel better, then, you know, he's – but I think he's doing fine, you know. Like, there's another guy that you would like to see more in exhibition games. I mean, he doesn't have any NHL experience. So, you know, you get him into a frenzy here at home where – fans are going to be, you know, hopefully into it, which I would suspect that they will be. It's a pretty nerve-wracking situation for a guy that's never played a game. So those are things you have to try to figure out to help them succeed.
If you're a player like Spencer Mihajlovic and you see Mark Scheifele come in and play with Slater and Thorburn, and you see Anthony Caruso come in off the waivers, you have to be a little confused right now or wondering what you need to do, or is that something you guys would talk to them about?
Well, Spencer, you know, Spencer, I think, has done a good job. Like, when you're in his situation, which is, you know, Spencer's, what, 24 or 25 or something, and he's been around the block a little bit as far as that goes, that's just the nature of the beast. You know that. And you work for your opportunity. That's what you do. You wait for the door to open. You prepare yourself for that door to open. Sometimes you do it here. Sometimes you do it in the American League. But that's why when I was coaching in the American League, I always tell the players, you have to be ready to go. You have to bring your A game so that if I get a call and who's the guy, you're the guy, and the door opens and you take advantage of it. And he did last year, and we got him back for that reason. And, you know, I mean, I'm sure he's hoping for another opportunity, and he would – you know, he probably is a little bit frustrated with that, but that's just the nature of the beast, you know. And I think that I wouldn't need to explain that to him, you know.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.